and welcome to the Five Feline Farm Podcast. We're your hosts, Julia Miller and Donna Kuntz. This podcast follows the efforts of two women and their cats as we reinvent, rediscover, and create a renaissance farm. We'll share our tips, tricks, successes, and occasional fails. Keep coming back. It's going to get interesting.
Hello and welcome back. Today we're going to talk about my method of composting, and Julia will share one of her recipes.
Don't forget, we are still taking submissions for podcast names, so keep those creative suggestions coming. You can post those on our Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, or email us at fivefelinefarm@gmail.com.
So let's just dive right into answering a question from one of our listeners, Linda. She asks, how do you compost? Well, let's just say composting is an exciting topic to me, as I'm sure it is for most gardeners.
That's not a lie. She really, really gets excited over compost.
I love compost. So I do a very simple version of composting, and I'm just going to say right here, right now, I am not an expert on compost, but I'm going to tell you what I do. So basically, compost, there are three basic ingredients for a good, active compost heap. First, you have the browns, so things like twigs, leaves, branches, small branches, of course, unless you want to turn a great big giant branch around in your composter. Greens, grass clippings, which we have a lot of, vegetable waste, food scraps, eggshells, coffee grounds, tea bags. And you will see, if you look at gardening books, you will see many different ideas of the best proportion for compost. And I usually use more of a one part green to two parts brown. However, it depends on what I have. Sometimes it may be two parts green to one part brown. So I don't really have much of a formula, but you will see it different ways. And if you're interested in resources on more specific information about composting, we would be glad to share some of those with you. But the other thing you need, and besides browns and greens, is water. It's really important. You want to put the composter in a dry, shady spot near a water source. Actually, we have some that are in partial shade. And the most important part of all of that is to turn, turn, turn.
That makes me think of a song. I want to ask you, too, about the water. How much and how often do you have to add water to your compost?
For the most part, I rarely add water to the compost. I usually will just let... We have composters that are pre-made, and I'll talk a little bit about those in a little bit. But I mostly just let the rain take care of that. Now, if we go through a dry spell, I may add a little bit of water to it. Usually we have rain barrels that are close by, so I'll add a little water. You don't want it really wet, but you also don't want it really dry. So does that help answer that question?
Yeah, it really does, because I don't deal with the compost much other than I'll go throw some kitchen scraps in it when I'm cooking, but I don't do any of the maintenance of that. So I really don't understand the proportion of water to the other ingredients. So that's very helpful.
Okay. In the winter, I get to cheat just a little bit. We have an electric composter. It's made by Nature Mill. Super cool. It's not very big. It's small. But it does a lot of work. And we will save, we have a small little bin under the sink, and we eat a lot of vegetables. So all of those kitchen scraps, eggshells, vegetable matter, fruit matter, all that stuff that we cut off.
Tea bags.
Julia usually cuts that off.
Right.
And coffee grounds. We have a lot of coffee grounds.
Coffee every day.
Yes. We save those and put those into this composter. and it sits out in the garage because it can get a tad bit odor to it, just like any other composter, but I put a little baking soda in that to help with the odor. And I also mix in a little bit of, we have some pellets that are actually for horse bedding. I add that in just to add a little that helps with the structure of it a little bit and keeps it from being too wet, because coffee grounds can get kind of wet. So you don't want it to get too wet, but it will just, it's electric and just mixes itself. And about every, oh, week and a half or so, there will be enough in the bin that I dump that into the hopper. And so about every 4 weeks, I have enough to put out into my outside. I have a trash can that's probably about a 33-gallon trash can, I believe, that I've just poked holes in, just a simple old trash can. It's black, and I do have a liner in it. And I throw that outside all winter. I have it right up back by the back door, no odor to it at all. And over the winter, I will get probably, that'll be about half full of good, rich, it's already composted material that's ready to put on the garden.
So it's a place where you can just keep that through the rest of the winter until you're ready to use it.
That's correct. And in terms of compost bins, wow, there are so many things you can do. You can spend a fortune if you like, but we use, actually, I do a lot of different methods. You don't need anything real fancy. You don't need anything real expensive. You know, that's all up to you. You can simply make a pile right on the ground. And I do that some. I have some different places in some of the garden areas where I actually have some compost happening right there. You know, as I take out some of the vegetable material, say like tops of radishes or some of those kinds of things. Again, you're not going to want to put anything diseased into your pile. But I will start a pile on the ground. Usually I like to put a little bit of straw or something under that so that it can get some air to it and keep it aerated.
That sounds like it would be pretty easy then in the garden, where you could just work it right into the soil in the spring.
That is the simplest way to do it. And sure, you can do that. And a lot of times when I am, when I've harvested an area, say, you know, I'll start radishes and some of the cool weather crops early and they'll be out of the garden. I'll go ahead and make an area, that area where I've already pulled that out, say all the radishes, and put some eggshells and some other things just directly on top of the soil. Now, the down part of that, downside of that is that it takes it a little bit longer to compost. So you're probably going to want to let that set for a little bit, because those are raw materials and it's just going to take a little bit.
So when do you add compost to the garden if it's not just one of those done in place kinds of things that you were just describing?
What I have done, and again, there's all kinds of answers out there, but I'm just going to tell you what I have done. Is I usually try to put a little bit of composted material on the garden. And since we don't till and we don't really work our soil much more than 4 inches deep, I'll just put a little over the top. You know, you don't need to put 5 inches, or I just sprinkle some over the top and work that in the fall. Let it sit all winter.
So a little bit goes a long way.
A little in our garden. Now, if you're doing deep tilling, you're going to want to put a little more on it. Maybe a couple of inches of compost. And I'm getting ready to add compost to the spring garden. So I will be doing that very soon. And again, you can do that however you like. I prefer to go ahead and apply it now. I'll put a little bit on soon, probably within the next couple of weeks, and then we'll work that into the soil a little.
So the next couple of weeks, since you may be listening to this at any point in time, would be about the 1st of March?
Yeah, around the 1st of March. And we are fortunate enough to have a friend who has goats.
Ooh, goats.
So she has a lovely composted pile of goat poo that I actually have a little bit sitting on our property right now, waiting to go to the garden.
That's awesome. And the funny thing is, that has been piled up, and you would think, ooh, big pile of smelly goat poo, but it has sat so long, and good compost really just has a nice, earthy, rich smell. It does not smell like poo.
Oh, it smells wonderful. The main purpose that we like to use compost is to build healthy soil. Healthy soil means healthy vegetables. We like to eat. So Joy is going to tell you what we do with those vegetables.
All of that lovely compost and rich garden soil produces a wonderful array of vegetables. I do, of course, supplement with some that we purchase, but the vast majority of our vegetables come right here from the property. We preserve them by canning or freezing. We eat them fresh as much as possible. But that is just such a bonus to me as a cook. So now one of the things that I want to tell you about is how I use some of those. The other thing I love to do is to use up bits of things that are just stuck in the refrigerator. Leftovers from another cooking experience, another dish. And one of the things that I've found is a great way to use up a lot of different bits of vegetables is stir fry. So this can be just whatever I happen to have left in the refrigerator. It might be Brussels sprouts, carrots, peppers, sometimes some cabbage, broccoli, mushrooms. We are eating mostly vegetables, but occasionally we'll have a little bit of leftover meat, maybe some chicken, rarely a piece of steak, and I may chop that up and put that in as well. The second piece of this is to add some additional flavor. We always have garlic on hand. We always have onion. I will also use some fresh ginger if available. And this past year, I've also had some yacon, which is a ginger-flavored root that Donna grows here in East Central Illinois. Although I believe it's from the Andes, right?
Yes.
And that is Y-A-C-O-N, and it's a beautiful, tender little root. Looks similar to a potato.
It looks like a sweet potato, and I believe it's actually in the daisy family.
Ooh, so now we're eating daisies. I love that.
It's better than pushing them up.
Indeed it is. So in that flavor profile, I'll also use some freshly ground pepper, but I don't add any salt because I'm going to use soy sauce in the sauce, and that's very salty. The sauce I typically use is made from a canned coconut milk. Again, some soy sauce, some sriracha, maybe some curry powder or peanut butter. If you happen to want a thicker sauce, add a tablespoon of cornstarch at this point while the ingredients are still cold or room temperature. Typically, I serve something like this over noodles or rice. So how you go about doing this is gathering everything together. Stir fry cooks very quickly, so you have to have all of your ingredients prepped. You'll chop everything into bite-sized pieces and start the noodles or rice, whatever you're serving this over, and then add 2 to 3 tablespoons of oil in a wok over a medium-high heat. Add your vegetables one at a time in the order of the longest time to cook. Typically, that for me is carrots or broccoli, and then continue adding all of the ingredients in the order of length of time to cook. Once you have everything cooked to a crisp, tender level, you'll add the sauce, stir that until it's boiling, slightly thickened, and serve it over your rice or noodles with additional soy sauce or sriracha on the side. Very easy to prepare on a weeknight, but it also then makes a decent pile of kitchen scraps for Donna's compost pile.
Yes.
So you can kind of see this whole circle of life happening. We grow the vegetables in the rich compost, and the vegetables then turn around as scraps and go back into the compost. And it just makes a wonderful, sustainable cycle for us.
So there you have it, an inside look at how we compost and eat. and how all that ties together. Until next time, see ya.
See ya. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Five Feline Farm Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our show. To find out more about our farm, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our website, fivefelinefarm.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our online store at fivefelinefarm.com/mercantile. Until next time.